What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Tis the season, oh no, we're not in the holiday season, but tis the season, Vic, for some colds. Colds go around this time of year, and you have one. I'm actually starting to feel like I'm getting one. I know that our guest who we're going to have on in a bit, and we spoke to her earlier today, she has a bit of a cold. So what do you want to make this podcast brought to you by,
and this is unofficial, they haven't thrown us a dime, but they can.
Why not? It's good promotion. Let's go.
This Pucks and Seven episode is brought to you by DayQuil and Chloraseptic. And these are hopefully going to get me through the next couple of segments, 15 minutes or so each, because we did try this a little bit earlier. We can let listeners in on, and we had to pull the chute because somebody wasn't literally coughing up a lung, but figuratively very much coughing up a lung.
I think I saw some shrapnel coming up.
It wasn't pretty. Ryan could tell you it was not pretty what was happening over here.
I've got this here. So Jameson Vitamin C, let's go. Can't wait for this one. Bucks and Seven, we're off and running. We're available on Sirius XM app, wherever you get your podcasts as well. Again, Emma Lingen, we spoke to her earlier on today, so we'll hear that conversation in a bit. And not only does she cover the Preds, it's been a long time, months since we've had her on, but she does a great show, The Wraparound, for the hockey news. So we'll dive into that. So many topics to discuss with Emma. We'll go into the West in a second. Well, maybe more than that, maybe 15 minutes. If Vic can make it through, only time will tell. This is fun. Oh, I can't wait. Let's begin in the East, shall we? You convince me right now, Victoria. Who's the best goalie in the NHL not playing for Team Canada outside of Logan Thompson?
Nobody.
Thank you.
Oh, the best. Okay, well, we can maybe rephrase it. The best goaltender in the NHL right now is Logan Thompson, and that is with full respect to Connor Hellebuyck. But the last month or so, 5 weeks, whatever it is, Thompson's numbers have been better. They've been the best in the NHL. And this is somebody a couple months before now was not selected to Team Canada. You and I, we can give ourselves proper credit. You and I did not like that decision at the time.
Not at all.
We don't feel any more satisfied being proven correct, because I still think he should be on the team. And the fact that he wasn't even in consideration, there wasn't even a conversation had with Team Canada.
He said, nobody even talked to me about it.
And not even as an injured reserve. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild, wild. And all three, so the ones who are going there, I'm not taking anything away from these guys because they're not playing. It doesn't even matter. They were selected. Jordan
Bennington.
They're
not playing Logan Thompson-esque.
Not right now, no. Not right now. So we're going to see how all that goes down.
We had to do this again. Anyway, and also, too, the Capitals, they're flying. So Ovi's going to get the record probably this weekend. No, he won't, but you know what I'm saying. And Washington continues to be an amazing story right now in the NHL. So if you want to see some good hockey with a very good team and a relaxed team, and maybe the coach of the year, possibly, Jack Adams.
Oh, he's definitely in the conversation for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what is funny, and this wasn't in the lineup, but there's a number of coaches that can be in the conversation this season. Carberry is one. Mm-hmm. Of course, every time you talk about Vegas, you have to talk about their head coach, Cassidy. Craig Berube has done a great job in Toronto.
Arneal.
Jim Hiller's done a great job in LA with the Kings. I mean, and Scott Arneal in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's five. That's five very quickly without even thinking more about that. So Dallas, can't forget about them. So there's so many. But anyway, we can talk about that in a bit. You almost coughed up a lung today. You didn't choke on anything, thankfully, but we almost saw a choking incident last night. Brad Marchand, fun in games? I don't think so, Brad. So he goes up to Nick Cousins in that game against Ottawa, and they looked like they were just going to chat beside the bench about something, and Brad decided, no, I'm going to take my hand and put it around the neck of Nick Cousins. Come on, Vic. Enough.
You know I really like the guy. I'm a Marchand fan. I know not everybody is.
No.
I like him. I liked him for a long time. I can't stand this stuff. It's just so incredibly disappointing. And it's almost like he can't help himself for after a stretch of time. Like he'll behave for about 18 months, 2 years, and then he just loses it. Pardon me. And
it's in his DNA. It's almost like it kind of reminds me a bit, not this season, but Tom Wilson, when, you know, Tom Wilson kind of goes off and does that stupid thing. You know it's coming. You wish it didn't.
Pardon me.
But you know it's going to come.
It is. But once they made him captain, I really did think he was going to smarten up a little bit. So this is very disappointing.
Enough, Brad. Enough of the games. You're not a teenager. And the thing that bugged me the most, and I mentioned this to you already, is that when you are somebody like a Brad Marchand, you tell me 99% of the kids in Boston look up to him, probably. With all due respect to his height, they probably look down on him because he's not Ryan. That tall, but that's with all due respect. But you just can't do that. This licking, the after the whistle stuff, getting the face of people, choking, enough.
Like you can't put your hands around somebody else's neck. I understand Nick Cousins is an extremely annoying player. I mean, he has that reputation as well. Whatever happened there, you can't do that. I hope this is the last we see of this nonsense from Marchand again for another couple of years and we get through it. But you're absolutely right. Kids are watching. Grown-ups are watching. It's a bad example.
No, it's ridiculous. We're going to take a pause here and just listen to the sound of silence. Are you wondering where I'm going with this? Oh, that's the sound of Leafs.
I do. I'm not wondering. I know where you are going.
That's the sound of
Leafs
crowd in the Scotiabank Arena. The other
according to Austin Matthews.
Oh, yeah. It was against Columbus. Ryan Reeves fought Olivier. And after the game, Matthews was, I believe, talking about the game. And, you know, he was asked about the fight. And it was Reeves' first fight. And he thought, you know, yeah, that's great. It's what he does. And it's great to have him on the team. And he said, oh, I thought the crowd should have kind of supported it. It had been woken up. They were pretty quiet. It is the quietest building in the National Hockey League. Dare I say the quietest building among the four major sports. It is quieter than a Tampa Bay Rays game in Tampa, and there's about 7,000 people in a massive stadium that dwarfs Scotiabank Arena. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Both you and I have attended games there. Mm-hmm. We don't go too often because, well, we have mortgages and bills to pay. There's other things that yes. where the money needs to go. Uh-huh. So we don't get to go to too many. But generally speaking, it's very disappointing in the lower bowl in particular. I think the fans in the upper bowl make a fair bit of noise mm-hmm. because they're just the ones who save up their money, want to take their kids to a hockey game, and they have a good time. But the corporate seats in the lower bowl, people go there and they just chit-chat. They're catching up with friends. They're not there to cheer on the hockey team. I think we all know this. I'd like to see changes made. I don't know how you go about doing it.
I don't know either.
But when you actually have to rouse the people around you, if you're lucky enough to sit in one of those seats,
and
because they're just doing
that.
Their own thing. Right. Pardon me?
You have a story about that.
Yes. Lair and I were at a game a couple of years ago. They were playing the Florida Panthers. And 6-5 was the final. And it was back and forth. And there were people sitting next to us. We actually had to tell them to stand up when the Leafs scored because they were just having their own little chit chat. So why are you sitting in row 8 at a hockey game, seats that other people would appreciate? Mm-hmm. Go to a coffee shop or a restaurant or a bar or a park bench or what have you. But what are you doing here doing that? And it affects the ambiance for everybody else in the arena.
It's not a fun place to play in. A lot of people say they love to play in Toronto. That's a dream. But to play inside the arena, I think it was great years ago when it was the Air Canada Centre and they moved from the Gardens. The Gardens was fantastic. It was a great venue to have. But it's awful. And it's getting worse. It doesn't make any sense. It's a very good hockey team. You're seeing one of the best players in the game most nights in Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Get off your you-know-whats and cheer because it's ridiculous.
The good news is it is a different atmosphere during the playoffs. That's the one thing I will say.
I know, but it should.
Anyway. Shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I'm still trying to listen. I can't hear them. Hmm. The Rangers, Vic. Last year they had a great season, and many people predicted them to get to the Cup final this year and win it. They have a long way to go, not just to get there, but also get into the playoffs. A bunch of teams to, not really. They're getting a lot closer. Back on December 30th, they lost 5-3 to the Panthers, and at that time, they had dropped 4 in a row, and I believe they had won 3 of their previous 13. Then the calendar year hit 2025. And since then, I mean, this team's fighting. Brady Tkachuk got used to that with Igor Shesterkin. Matt Rempe is scoring.
That was hilarious,
gem,
by the way.
Beautiful back. I mean, my kidding. Really? Matt Rempe? So this
look
is.
Look at him playing hockey, Ryan. Look at him play the game of hockey and not act like a goon and how effective he can be. It's refreshing.
Right. They're too good of a team to be bad. So they still have the tools. Yes, they've made some moves and all this other stuff that's gone off the ice. And Chris Drury weeks ago saying this and this. But I'm telling you, Vic, you got to watch out for this team right now.
Well, everybody's contributing again. It just seems like the temperature has come down completely.
Yes.
And we're not talking about them. Obviously, there were some discussions held in the dressing room amongst the bigger players. I'm going to tell you right now that Chris Kreider was definitely one of them. They're all talking. They're all figuring it out. They all realize that, listen, whatever the noise is outside, when it's talking about moving this player, not moving that player, what's happening with management, what's happening with the coach, all of it, they just decided to shush it and go about their business of winning hockey games. And that's what they've done. And that's why they're 1 point out of a playoff spot.
The body language with the team, too.
Totally different.
Language. It is so different. And Alexei Lafreniere is smiling. And again, it's not where you have to be putting up points. The team's winning. That's the most important thing at the end of the game. And if you get those 2 points, great. So you can be a minus three. Fine. Not a great individual performance. But at the end of the game,
Did you win?
They're smiling. It doesn't matter. So
it's all they care about.
Of a team again, and we address this with Emma as well. Nashville playing very well. Kind of the same kind of thing. I mean, they're a really good team. So now they're finally playing well, and are they mirroring the same thing the Rangers are doing?
One of us a month ago said that they were going to inch their way back into a postseason position. I'm just pointing it out for anybody who's interested.
You did that when we had. I think the only reason why you pretended to cough because you wanted to do this again, so you could again say. And you said 3 weeks. The last time we did this, which was a couple
I also,
years,
it was also a month ago. Both are true. I said it both 3 weeks.
I think we have to do it again. It's now going to be 5 weeks. 5 weeks ago, I said, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not.
You're not doing another one of these with me again today. There's no way.
Injury news concerning the Devils, Jacob Markstrom, 4 to 6 weeks. He is out with that knee sprain. Saw that incident. Goalies are so vulnerable to every single thing. You got all these players and pucks and sticks and whatever coming at you 100 plus miles an hour. You can't move out of the way. I'm not blaming the individual who went into him, but that's a tough one. It really is because he is one of the better goalies from health.
So now we're going to find out how good Jake Allen can play right now.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Jake Allen play very well in the past. Mm-hmm. We have also seen Jake Allen not play very well in the past.
Right.
So whatever version is going to come out, there's 7 games, I believe, for the Devils before the Four Nations break. No back-to-backs. They called up a kid named Isaac Poulter. You and I are not necessarily familiar with him. Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll see if he sees any action. So that's what's going to determine where the Devils are headed into the break, how well Jake Allen plays, also how well the team plays in front of him, right? Because that's always an issue.
I believe they're 3-6-3 in the last 12. And, you know, when you look at that, you think, well, do you blame Markstrom for a lot of that? I don't. I say all the time, you give me a good team playing well, and you'll give me a good goaltender playing well also, not taking anything away from Markstrom. But the Devils have not been playing as well. But yes, just maintain it and see what you can do with him being gone 4 to 6 weeks. Carolina, let's just do quickly on this. And you and I talk about Carolina, I think, like we talk about Dallas. And every time we do, we say, boy, you know, the Canes, again, nobody talks about them, yet they're just going about their business every week and they're winning games. They may lose one here and there, but they're scoring and they're doing this. They're doing this again. And again, I've been paying attention, but as much as this does not make sense, it does. I have not been paying attention.
They sort of sit on the periphery a little bit. The NHL conversation.
Yeah.
So they don't attract a lot of our attention, a lot of focus, but they do, as you just mentioned, go about the business of winning hockey games. The fact that they have Freddie Anderson back now, too. Now, he's played
Please
a couple of games.
Stay healthy, Freddie. Please.
He let in a few.
Yeah.
They still won the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Give him a warm up. If they can head into the playoffs with 2 healthy netminders, look out.
Right now, the Canes have 63 points, 8 points back at the Capitals. They've won 4 in a row. Boy, the Caps have 8-0-2 in their last 10. They've won 6. And the Devils, again, 3 wins in their last 10. So right now, it's a really 2-team race. Well, it's still a 3-team race, but the Devils have to get the wins in that column more so than the losses. Speaking of races, last one before we hit the break and get you to take a break, and then we'll get back to the second segment and talk about the Western Conference. You go down from 6th spot in that Eastern Conference, Vic, down to 13, and you have Boston, Tampa, Columbus, New York, Ottawa, Montreal, Philly, and Detroit. Only 5 points separating those teams right now, from 49 to Detroit up to 54.
Isn't it fascinating?
That is ridiculous.
I love it though, because they all have a chance.
Yep.
Right? You're looking at it and you're like, Philadelphia isn't out of it. Montreal mm-hmm. isn't out of it. Ottawa isn't out of it. Yep. It's fascinating. I mean, so who are your two picks for the wild card right now today?
So here's the thing. Well, based on the standings right now, or what's going to happen by the time the 82nd game's played? 82nd game, is that what you're saying?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go in the Atlantic. It will be kind of the usual suspects. Toronto, Florida, Tampa.
I'm the same.
Who knows okay. where they're going to be. Boston, I do not think, is going to get in. Tampa has a huge advantage. They have 4 games in hand on Boston, mm-hmm. so that's 8 points that they can get. So I'm going to go with, I don't think the Rangers will not be in the top 3 metrics. So the Rangers will be one of the wild card spots, and I will take Columbus because I'm pulling for them with emotion, especially as the other.
So you have the 2 wild cards both going for the Metropolitan.
Yes.
I'm the same. I have exactly the same picks. I was really hoping to argue with you about this, but hey, we don't script the podcast and this is how it turned out.
Okay, so let me just change my tune. So I'm going to go and right. say, just for the sake of argument, no, I'm kidding. You don't have an in you to argue today. Well, you never do. Okay, we made it through the East. Don't forget, earlier on today, we talked to Emma Lingan. That conversation is coming up later mm-hmm. on, and we'll go to the Western Conference after this. We'll talk about the McDavid suspension, the Vegas Golden Knights. I know Vic believes in those Flames. She loves them as much as she loves the Florida Panthers beach palm tree jersey.
I love rooting for them.
We'll come back after this. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I won't ask you this coming into the second segment, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, hanging in there.
You made it through the first, what, 13 and change? In case people are just tuning in, Vic's have been under the weather, and this is our second go-around today because her lungs are not working so well.
Let's just say the mute button on the mic is a blessing. So no, everybody doesn't have to hear every little bit. When you're talking, I'm taking my time. To deal with what I'm dealing with over here. I know a lot of people are dealing with this, and it's not fun, but it's just a head cold. I'll be all right soon enough.
Yeah, no, you sound good to me. Have I heard you sound better? Maybe a bit, but you sound
Yeah, great. I don't think I sound great at all, but we'll plow through.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice. You sound terrible. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Earlier on today, we spoke to Emma Lincoln, who covers the Preds, but also she covers a lot of the NHL. Does a great show on the Wraparound Show for the Hockey News, and we dove into a whole bunch of different topics with her. Not just involving Nashville, so she that conversation is coming up as well. Let's go west, and we will talk about the Calgary Flames, look at the Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota as well, and we also dive into this discussion with Emma in more detail. It was the suspension to Connor McDavid, and then we'll kind of lead into what happened last night between Vancouver and Edmonton in the Corey Perry game, I guess you can say. Your thoughts on this, though, the 3-game suspension to McDavid during the game before the one last night between Vancouver and Edmonton.
3 games work for me. Don't cross-check people in the face. That's
I'm really
it.
Glad you said that. I'm not, I don't look at X. I think that's the first time I've ever called it X and not Twitter. I'm going to still call it Twitter. I don't look at that, you know, with people's reactions a lot of the time. But I always get annoyed if I do at plays like this, because there's a lot of support saying, hey, if I was McDavid, if I was the best player in the world, then I would expect not to be taken down by Connor Garland. And I would turn around and I would do exactly what he did to him, and I should not get a suspension. It does not matter if you're McDavid, if you're Gretzky, if you're Matthews, if you're Crosby, if you're a guy in the fourth line mm-hmm. who plays 30 seconds. It doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't. To your point, you can't use your stick. Like Brad Marchand, we talked about, you can't use the hands to the neck, Brad. You can't use the stick. Because I always say this as well, and this is a little bit, not harsh, but it puts things into perspective if people don't think of it like this. You do that on the street, what if I came down to you and had something in my hand and just cross-checked you? Right. I mean, come on. I'm just saying.
It's a different playing field.
That's fine.
But you can't.
Don't make an excuse just because it's McDavid.
But you can't lose your marbles when this stuff happens. So you and I can, if we go to work and somebody's annoying us, we can't blow our temper, right? That's sort of the comparable. You can't lose it and not play by the rules. And McDavid lost it and he didn't play by the rules and he could have really, really hurt Connor Garland. You can't cross check people in the face. I don't know. Do I have to say it 10 more times? You can't do that. And even McDavid, he hinted that he didn't like the 3-game suspension. I think he might have accepted a single game suspension, but he thought just under the circumstances, because he was all over him, what have you, there are other ways to deal with this. First of all, beat the other team and win the hockey game. That's the best revenge ever.
Do it on the scoreboard. Do it on the scoreboard.
After that, I don't know, slash him in the back of the legs, Ryan. Like, do something that just hurts but doesn't injure, and then take your 2 minutes and move on. You can still make a statement, but you can't do that. You can't behave like that. You talk about kids watching the sport. You can't set that example. You can't do it. It's dangerous.
No, you can't. You absolutely can't. So anyway, 3-game suspension, absolutely. Absolutely fine. Anything less, it doesn't matter. The fact that he did get suspended, that was the right call. So last night, Vic, in the rematch, no McDavid and no Tyler Myers as well. Mm-hmm. We can talk about him, but he was suspended 3 games also. Vancouver, they fell to Edmonton. Corey Perry was Corey Perry-like. And I'm not saying he scored a hat trick. No, he did so many other things to get
he was a super pest.
Vancouver.
Super
as you
pest.
Put in the lineup, I think this was great. Vancouver needs to worry less about Perry and more about getting 2 points.
Vancouver's in trouble right now. And the way that they dealt and they let their frustrations boil over dealing with Corey Perry, who was at his super pest best, if you appreciate that. Like Leon Draisaitl said after the game, the guy's the best at the game at getting under your skin, and he got under the skin of pretty much every single player on the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver Canucks are tumbling down the Western standings. The Edmonton Oilers aren't. The Edmonton Oilers are in very comfortable position. So stop with the nonsense. Stop focusing on something that doesn't really matter. That team is a mess right now. You can see, you want to talk about negative body language? Nobody. You listen to Brock Besser after that game, and he just sounds like that their season is already over. Look within. Well, I understand the rumors about JT Miller are distracting. I understand the rumors about Pettersson are distracting. Put it aside. Get out there. Pull up your pants. Pull up your socks. You're a better hockey team than your results of late. And go out there and try to win a hockey game. Because they don't look like they're trying very hard right now.
They have not had consecutive wins since November 29th and December 1st. And they
Wow.
came both in overtime against Buffalo and Detroit. Two not very great hockey teams. All they've done since then is pretty much lose. They've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins since the 29th of November. And they
That's
have Washington
horrendous.
Coming up tomorrow.
That's horrendous for a team of awful. That quality. We're not talking about the Sharks here. That is really, really bad.
Yeah, it is. And I remember last year there was a point, I think it was earlier on this week, that Vancouver, at this point last season, they were leading the Pacific. They were first place in that Pacific because Edmonton, again, was still trying to claw their way back. And Vegas was just doing their thing, but it was Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And right now they're third in the wild card. They have 50 points and they're minus 19. That's not getting it done. Speaking
are they
that,
making the playoffs?
Teams to...
No, quickly, Ryan. Are they making the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
No chance. No. And it's not even a question. No, they're not making the playoffs. Mark it down, cross it with a T or two.
Oh, I certainly am. And I agree with you, by the way. I'm not saying there's no question, but right now I would be leaning towards no, for sure. Yeah.
Two other teams struggling a little bit. And if these were two teams other than Minnesota, Vegas, nobody would think too much about it. You know, Minnesota 5 wins in their last 10 and Vegas 4 wins in their last 10. Oh, you know, hey, we're a rebuilding team. No, these are two of the better teams in the league. But Minnesota have 5 wins in their last 10. And they're 7 points back now of Winnipeg atop that Central. And they're 1 point up on Dallas, who have 59 points. And Colorado is only 2 points back of them right now. They sit in that first wild card. So a little bit of a worry right now in Minnesota.
Guess who's back, though?
I know. Yeah, so, he couldn't come back sooner enough than now.
I think they would have liked him to come back a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But Kirill Kaprizov is back on the ice. He played his first game last night. And that's going to provide a big boost. They didn't win. But they're going to turn things around. Jared Spurgeon is back as well, I believe. Philip Gustafson has not been very good lately.
No.
In fact, he's been pretty darn lousy. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is just one of those stretches that good goaltenders go through on occasion. He's going to turn it around as well. If you're going to ask me, am I worried about the Minnesota Wild? The answer is a very much no, not concerned in the slightest. This is one of those lulls, one of those, you know, those periods that even very good hockey teams go through all the time. They're in it right now. But we're going to see the Kirill factor come through pretty audibly, pretty loudly in the next little while, and that's going to definitely help to get them back on track. And it's not like they're really off track anyways,
no,
but they've
not.
Just skewed a little bit.
It's just, and that's a tough division, right? If you take a week or two where you don't play as well, you've got Colorado, Dallas, you're in tough, and you could be out of a playoff spot, not a playoff spot, out of the top three in a week or two when it comes to they got off to a pretty good start in the month. They had three straight wins, Washington, Carolina, St. Louis, and then they've alternated wins and losses, but they've lost to Nashville. They lost to Utah last night, 4-0. They had Calgary coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, last night wasn't great.
Yeah, it was terrible. No, it was terrible. I think they'll be okay, but again, that Central Division, that's really tough. What about Vegas? I'm not happy when any team struggles, but for a team like Vegas to kind of go through a bit of adversity, I think it's a very good thing for this hockey team. Because they haven't really gone through any adversity whatsoever since they came into the league those years ago. All they do is win. They either get to the final or they win the cup or they get very close to it every single time they step on the ice through the 82 games. So I'm not concerned at all. But the thing is that that Pacific Division is rounding itself out between at least the top two teams. Edmonton is soaring and Vegas is kind of in the middle here.
They're leveling out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to last. My concern is about William Karlsson. Yeah. That team is a lot better with William Karlsson healthy in it, and now he is out week to week. So whatever week to week means, hopefully it's shortly after the February break, and
like
he's not
that.
Out.
I don't like the week to week at all.
I don't like the sound of it either, Ryan, but it could be 3 to 4 weeks, and that's just after the February break, and then we're back to business, because if it stretches out any longer than that, he's just one of those players. He's a big cog in that engine, man. He really is. He's not somebody who draws the same attention as a Jack Eichel or a Mark Stone, but he just quietly, and sometimes less quietly, sometimes he does attract attention and just gets it done. But he is such a key figure. He was a key figure in helping them win the cup. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's a key figure. He's a key figure in the regular season. He is all the time. He's one of those players that make that team one of those glue guys, you know, but a glue guy with skill. So they are going to miss him. We'll see how they manage without.
Aiden Hill is one of the Team Canada goaltenders, correct?
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
He is?
Yep.
Okay. So just looking at his numbers, again, I find it hard anytime we see a team struggling to blame the goaltender, unless they really look bad, unless they're letting in goals that you and I could maybe save and softies and all that stuff. But his numbers when he loses, they're not very good. The one against the Blues, he gave up 4 on 28 shots, 857 save percent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he loses to Carolina, 893. The one he lost to the Islanders, 850 save percentage. Against Montreal, 864. So it's not like one of these times that he's going through this stretch of games for him where it seems to be okay, even though he loses. Oh, he stopped 28 of 29. They lost by one or something. Like, he doesn't look very good. So I don't know if that's a combination of the defense in front of him, the team in front of him, or if it's just Aiden Hill not being consistent. I think it's the latter. I think it's Aiden Hill just kind of going through.
I think it's Aiden Hill not being consistent. Who do you start game one for Team Canada? Binnington, Aiden Hill, or Montembeault?
Aiden Hill.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. There's the answer.
But we just talked about how inconsistent he plays, and just still compared to the other two options, we're still going with him.
You still go, yeah, I'd go with Logan Thompson, but, oh yeah, we talked about that already, didn't we?
Not
I know you believe in the Flames. You root for the Flames, as you did.
I believe in rooting for the Flames.
Are we believing, Victoria, in the Flames now?
I don't know.
Come on, you put it down in the lineup. Let's go convince me.
Okay,
They're
in a wild card spot right now. Mm-hmm. What I do like about him, it seems like every day, outside of Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau, who's having a hell of a campaign, somebody else steps up. Last night, it was Pelletier, Kissy Kissy Pelletier, the one who went around kissing everybody on the helmet after whoever scored. It was really adorable, actually. Yeah. By the way, that I don't mind. Kissing on helmets, absolutely fine. Choking and cross-checking in the face, not so much. I would much rather take the Jacob Pelletier route. So that's what I like about the Flames. But when you look up and down the lineup, they're just missing that little extra star power, that little bit of extra depth. They're getting some great goaltending right now. I don't know how sustainable that is. So it's just, they're getting there, Ryan. I can get excited about them getting there, but they're not there now. And I don't think management believes that they're there now. They're not going to do anything dumb at the trade deadline and trying to bring in any type of rental or anything like that. They understand who they are. I think this is fun. I think it's fun for Flames fans. I think if they do make the postseason, it would be great because that one round experience, they're going to be knocked out quick, but that one round experience will help going forward. So, but this is still a team in rebuilding mode, but it's fun to watch and they're fun to root for.
With Celebrini doing his thing in San Jose and Michkov, for example, doing his thing in Philly, I kind of forget about Dustin Wolf and how good he is doing in Calgary. He's 12-2-1 on home ice.
You're right. Yeah. And he's been really good lately.
Yeah, I never put him in that rookie conversation. I don't. And I should, based on those numbers. I mean, I don't know how many rookies have won as a goalie, have won Rookie of the Year before, but I'll look that up before we next do this.
Raycroft. Raycroft won it.
Yeah, I just didn't. I just don't know how many. Over the course of
the last one I can think of.
We talked about the wild card in the East, and I gave you my predictions, and we both said that the two wild card teams will come from the the Metro. What about the wild card here in the West? Who snags it if Calgary does not?
I don't want to talk about it because it's too hard of a question. I'm going by
what you put in the lineup. If you don't want to talk about it, don't send me it.
You talk about it because it's the Flames right now, but that's still a hard sell for me. The Predators are so far back, even though I think that's a fun conversation to have. Vancouver's a mess. The best team of the bunch is Vancouver Canucks. They're a mess. I don't know day to day. Pardon me?
They're terrible right now.
They're terrible right now. I don't know day to day what to make of the Blues, but I have never known what to make of the Blues day to day, just ever. I mean, what, Utah? No Dylan Gunther? I don't know. So right now, I'm going to go with the Flames just because they're there, but that's a default answer because they're there. If the Canucks can clean up their emotional drama mess and they can get their act together and figure it out, they still have a really great coach out there. They have some really good players. Then it's going to be Vancouver. I just don't think that they're going to. I don't think they are going to clean it up.
I'll tell you when they're going to clean it up is when Alvin and company make that move to trade JT Miller. That's what they have to do. And I'm not signaling out him as the issue, but everyone talks about the issue all the time. You got to get rid of him. You really.
But now they're saying there are no buyers for him. Today they came out and they said that they're pushing Pettersson more now because there's more of a market for Pettersson.
Which is interesting. So I spoke to Jim Cerny last week, covers the Rangers, and asked him, you know, do you think the Rangers would entertain the idea of being involved in a trade for JT Miller? The first thing he said was this: when you're trading for him, you're not trading really specifically for the player on the ice. You're worried about all the stuff off of it and in the dressing room.
Big personality.
If Pettersson is now in the forefront of that discussion, I'm not surprised because teams, Vic, to your point, maybe they're balking at this. Okay, the price tag is one, but this player that we're getting, these aren't just players, they're people. And do we want this to come in our team?
Because he's a different character. He has a big personality and a big presence. Negative or positive, I think you know when he's in the room and he's going to yield his influence. So you have to be accepting of that. But boy, Ryan, he's a heck of a hockey player, man. I would love to have him on my team just for that alone. It's a tough one. That is a tough one for me.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Evander Kane when he is on the ice and playing at his best. And when his mind's in the game, I'd have him any day. A lot of stuff comes with Evander Kane off the ice. Okay, last one again. Emma Lingan, we talked to her earlier on today, so we'll get into that conversation in just a bit. We'll go into Nashville and other news in and around the NHL and go to 77 Seconds with Emma as well. Four Nations coming up, and you're going to that Sweden game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sweden, Canada, and Montreal.
Montreal. Okay, so every time something like this happens, whether it's the Four Nations or a World Cup or an All-Star game, really not the All-Star game because it's so slow and just it's pond hockey. But when there's an event beforehand that there's a lot on the line, the worry is about injuries. You don't want any of your start, and these are all stars from Finland, Sweden, Canada, and the U.S. You don't want any guy to get injured.
Best of the best.
So I'm concerned if I was a fan of any of these teams sending one of my best players over, I'd be worried. Not over, but to Montreal or Boston. I'd be worried because it's not about that. It's about the cup.
Okay. I'm getting a little frustrated with this conversation, not just with you and not with you at all,
good,
but in general.
Started. I don't get it. It's been 20 seconds and she's frustrated with me.
Trust me, we'll get there. We're all excited when this tournament was announced, Best on Best, and we hadn't watched Best on Best in some time. Everybody got excited. The National Hockey League, who is running this tournament, by the way, is pumping us all up. This is going to be so great, and we all believe it's going to be so great, and everybody's all jazzed, and owners of teams are jazzed, and players are jazzed, management's jazzed, everybody's jazzed. Now, all of a sudden, it's approaching.
Uh-oh.
Oh, do we really want Austin Matthews to hurt himself out there? Okay, shut up is what I want to say to
add a few more words between every the shut and the up, but,
buddy. No, it's enough.
Okay.
Either you're going to have this tournament and we're going to address it and deal with it properly, or we're not going to have the tournament. If you are so darn concerned about losing your star players in February ahead of a potential playoff run, then we just don't do this. Okay? But don't get us all excited and all of a sudden there's talk. Now there's talk all across the league about, oh, you know, they have this nagging injury and they're not going to play. Listen, if a player is hurt, they're not going to play. I'm not saying be ridiculous here. All right? You still have to protect your greatest assets. But honest to goodness, if somebody's feeling okay and they're on this team and they want to represent their country, I want us all to get behind it and stop talking about all the different things that could happen. John Tavares just blew himself up in practice doing nothing the other day. People can get hurt getting up off the toilet, Ryan. Honest to goodness, I know. I understand it's not a comparison. And of course, it's more dangerous.
I pulled my hamstring. It was terrible.
Yeah, I think that's the vintage we're at. It happens a little bit more often.
Okay, appreciate
but
that.
let's just embrace this, or let's not do it.
Let me throw this out at you quick, because again, you probably lost most of your voice for that, but that was very good. You helped together. What if? And I know what the some things you're going to say, and I know if I put this out there, what people will say, and the quick response would be, it's the off season, and the players need time off. What if you held this event at some point in July? Season's done. Again, you're not holding an event for all the nations and all the players, whatever, for a week, we can change 10 days. What if you did that? The discussion, obviously there'd be more discussions of, oh, it's the off season. No need to do that. But all this talk of who's going to get hurt before the stretch run, it wouldn't be an issue.
I don't think the fan engagement would be there. I don't want to watch that in July. I really don't.
You wouldn't want to go to Montreal or Boston in July to go inside to watch a game?
Not really. I would go, but I'm much more interested in doing it as a break during the regular season when we're all swept up in it and what everybody's doing. So I see where you're coming from, and there's certainly a practicality to that.
Right.
I just think with moving out, and also I think the players would be less interested too. That's time with their family. They're away. They've gone back home. Many have traveled back to Europe or wherever they're living. So I just think I think that would be more difficult to cobble
together.
With that
being said, some NHL players go over to the World Championship all the time.
So I
agree. And again, I would be in the minority with, hey, this is something that would work. It could work. It would work, but there's so many parameters involved. I'm with you. Enough of this stuff. If you're going to hold it, great. If you're not,
it's also like four games, Ryan. It's not like they're playing every second game for a second day for a month. This is a very, very short tournament.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Again, we spoke to Emma Lingen earlier on today. We'll have that conversation next as we continue Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Manish. Good job, Vic. You made it through two. Let's see how we already know how she did in the first one. We did this one with Emma earlier on today. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
Okay, and we're back on Pucks in Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Madash. We've gone through the West. We've gone through the East. Always fun to have any guest on. And earlier on today, we had a chance to catch up very early, by the way. She was up early for us, which I think tells us something, Ben. She must like us, or at least she's pretending to. Emma Lingen, we talked to her earlier on today.
Oh, she's just a quality person. And we went through not only the Predators, a team with which she is intimate because she's been covering them very closely for a while, but the NHL at large. But we did start the conversation off with a pressing question for not just Predators fans, fans right across the NHL. Do these Nashville Predators have a chance at all at a postseason position?
Technically, I don't know. I'm not as much of a believer right now, honestly.
Okay.
I think that, you know, they got off to such a slow start. Mm-hmm. That they are now, they're not really in control of their own destiny anymore. So it's not right. just about they need to win more games. It's they need to do a lot of winning and some other teams need to do a lot of losing. So, you know, mathematically, they're still in it. I still think they have like a 5% chance, but their odds of making the playoffs and getting the first overall pick are pretty much the same. And
right.
neither one is that good. So
it's a win-win.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I don't know that I'm a total believer in playoffs this year. But hey, I would love to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I've always said this about teams, and you guys know this, that to your point, Emma, about it's one thing to be close in points, but then you look at, hey, I've got this team, and they're not going to lose every single night. They're not going to go on 5-6 game losing skids, all 5-6 teams you're chasing. So you're hoping that they will. Outside of that, Jonathan Marchessault has just been phenomenal. I believe it's points in 18 of 19 or 17, something like that. He's just been great. What's clicking with him? Because I always find it interesting to look at players like that who are very successful, where he was great in Vegas. And then you come to Nashville. I know it took a while. Stamkos is new. It's a new system, all that type of thing. But what have you noticed with his game lately that's actually people are saying, hey, yeah, this is the Jonathan Marchessault that we've known?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Partly, I would say, number one, it was once the top line finally came together. So they've tried a bunch of different
right.
line combinations. But it was once the combination of Stamkos in the center and then Forsberg and Marchessault on the wing. Once that combination really came together, he really kind of took off. But I would also say, and I said this before the season even started, looking at these new additions and the way they play the game, that Marchessault was the most obvious fit for Andrew Brunette's system, for Andrew Brunette's style of hockey. It's very mm-hmm. offense first. It's a lot of skating, lot of puck hunting. And he just kind of, he can be that agitator as well. He, you know, he battles for pucks and things like that, that I think that he was just kind of the most obvious fit to the system. And yeah, you're seeing it now in that top line combination as well. I think he's now, he's got points in 10 straight games, which I believe is a career high. So, he's, you know, he was kind of the first one of those new additions to really start taking off, and it's been good to see.
One more Preds question before we move on to the NHL. Who's this Fedor Svechkov kid, and why should we know about him?
Oh my gosh, I love this kid.
I do too. Yeah,
he's great, and he's now on a 3-game goal streak. So he's big first round pick, big centerman. You know, it's funny I say big centerman. If you look at him from the neck up, he looks like he's about 12, but really just. You know, you're starting to see him play with a lot more confidence, and he's been playing on a wing on a line with Zach LaRue and Tommy Novak, and he's just really kind of been finding his game lately. And he's, you know, he's a really good skater. He's fast. He finds space to, you know, just kind of score from these unreal angles, and so I'm really excited about him. And also, you know, if you ever get a chance to talk to him, he's delightful.
Just looking at the name again, and he's got hockey in the genes, because Sergei Fedorov was a pretty good player. So Fedorov, and then Andrei Svechnikov.
I know, it's weird. I came from Carolina, and there Andrei Svechnikov was Svech. And so now here everyone is calling Svech. I'm like, wait a minute.
Who are we talking about? Emmeline is joining us. Let's go into more about the NHL, because you do a great wraparound show with the hockey news. I love watching that. It's fantastic. Connor McDavid suspended 3 games recently, and the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers had the rematch last night. McDavid didn't play. Vic and I will get into Corey Perry and all that stuff in Vancouver and JT Miller and all that. But a lot of people came out with that whole thing and thought, okay, Tyler Myers, that suspension for the 3 games, that was more of a check to the face. Did McDavid deserve it? You're the top player in the game. Why are you getting mugged? Yada, yada, yada. Where do you stand on the suspension of 3 games?
Hi. So I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but I'm mm-hmm. good with it.
Yeah, me too. You're not in the minority at all. Not in this group anyway.
We got three. No, three's a crowd. We're good. We're good.
Okay. I have always been a believer, and not even just in hockey, but in any sport, any league, that there needs to be a standard and all of the players need to be held to that same standard.
Agreed.
And I am not a fan, I mean, not even just in sports, but in life, of any mm-hmm. kind of entitlement or feeling of I'm above the rules
exceptional status. Yes.
Yeah. And so I just think that it sends a message. It's, I mean, I think it's fair. I think it was definitely a worthy and earned suspension. I mean, it was.
You can't use your stick. You can't use your stick to someone's face.
How about we don't cross check people in the face? How about we don't do that? Because something really bad is going to happen someday. So how about we just not?
He was lucky. Garland was lucky to walk away from that. But it was, you know, definitely it was not. It was a dirty play. It was not necessary. It wasn't a hockey play. I mean, I think 3 games is fair.
Keep going.
Well,
go
we think you are correct. with that altogether, the fact that Myers also got a 3-game suspension, I don't know. I can understand the frustration when you're the best player in the league and people are on you all the time. I just think there are different recourses that you can take to combat that. And slash him in the back of the legs for crying out loud. Like, do something else, but you don't leave the face alone, especially with your stick.
Like, you whack him on the shins or something.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Or have another teammate take care of things again in a cleaner hurt. Don't injure. How about that? Right. Just be annoying. That's the way that I look at it. Let's look at the West at large right now. If you have to pick somebody putting you on the spot, who does grab that last wild card spot? It's Calgary right now, but there's a little bit of a jammer jammer. You already mentioned you don't think the Preds are going to be in that mix, but who do you think might be? Is it Vancouver? Is it St. Louis? Or do you think that's the Flames to lose?
Well, I certainly don't. I wouldn't say it's the Flames to lose. They're who I would pick right now.
Okay.
Vancouver makes me a little nervous just with everything that they have going on. Extracurricular wise. I would say Calgary or, I mean, St. Louis could be a sneaky one. They've been really, really good since they had the the midseason coaching change. And they're a difficult team to play against, having, you know, they're in the same division as Nashville, so have been able to watch them a bit. And so I would still put my money on Calgary right now, but I would not be surprised in the slightest if St. Louis kind of made a run for it.
They're a team we just don't talk about very often. You almost forget about. I know you do less, but over here in the East, we're right. St. Louis, they're still in the mix. We should probably pay attention to that, you know?
Even in the West, we kind of forget about them sometimes. So,
right.
Yeah, they've just kind of been in the middle for so long. So you do kind of gloss over them. But it's different in the West than it is in the East, where pretty much everyone is, you know, inches away from a playoff spot right now. So it's a little bit different.
Can I ask you something about the West and the style of play? I was looking at the stats and standings, I think, a week or two ago, and looking at the top three in each division, and for the most part, the top three in each division had more points than the top three in the two Eastern Conference divisions. And at the end of the season, usually, it's the West that has the more points. Is there such a, like, why is that? Is there a difference between the style of play? I mean, we watch as many West Coast games as we can here. But I'm just curious because, I mean, I don't think there should be that much of a difference between the top-tier talent in the league.
I wondered about that as well, because I think, I don't know that it's necessarily a talent issue, because these guys, they're all NHL players. The talent is there. I think it's a more of a disparity between the haves and the have-nots in the West than there is in the East, where in the West you have so many teams that are in the middle of a so-called rebuild and feel like they have been for a while.
Sure,
teams like Chicago, San Jose, Anaheim, teams that are not, that you kind of go into the season, you're not expecting much from them. And then you have, I feel like this year in particular, though, has been weird. Like, I don't know about you, but I did not have Winnipeg being, you know, far and away at the top of Central this year.
Me neither.
And Minnesota right behind them. Like, it just is kind of wild. And even a team like Vegas, I kind of thought that they would take a step back after they lost, you know, they lost Marchessault, they lost Stevenson. But then looking at the guys they have on their roster now, I'm like, wait, why did I think they would take a step back?
Right.
That's still a really good team.
Yeah. And so I think it's not so much a talent disparity. It's more of a, like an organizational timeline disparity in the West, I feel like, that you're just seeing there's, it's less wide open than it is in the East.
Right.
I want to flip to the East now. We were talking about, you mentioned earlier, the logjam, how it's a little bit different from the West. Like, pretty much outside of the Buffalo Sabres, Surrey Sabres, everybody is sort of in it to some degree. So if you're looking at, we can look at the two wildcard spots in the East right now, because it could, there could be some shuffling easily. Who do you like? Are you looking at the Rangers? Do you think Columbus can stick it out? Does Boston hold on to the third spot, or do they fall to a wildcard, or do they fall out of a playoff position altogether?
Yeah,
I asked you too many things there, so just do whatever you like with
this. Yeah, Vic, I mean, that, there's nothing
I'm not
like,
excited.
Nothing like easing Emma into the Eastern Conference stuff. Yeah.
No, it's funny. I, you know, talking about a team that's too good to be this bad, I said that about the Predators, but how about the Rangers this year?
Oh, 100%.
I have, you know, I actually, one of my friends kind of who loosely follows hockey, and considers himself a Rangers fan, just asked me the other day, like, what's happening with this team? I'm like, man,
I don't know.
I think, like, you know, a lot of, for them, you know, I think elite goaltending covered up a lot of problems for a while. And now it's like their entire core is almost kind of hitting this age cliff at the same time and starting to fall off. And I don't know, they just look very disengaged right now, but I also am well aware that this is a team that is coming off of, you know, having won a President's Trophy, and they were my pick for the Stanley Cup last year. So I'm not saying they're my pick this year, but I'm saying it would be a very long way to fall if they don't at least get a wild card spot this year. So I you know, I got to go with the Rangers for that reason alone. I would love for Columbus.
Yeah, me too.
I think everyone would at this point. Like, you can't hate this Columbus team, especially after everything that they've been through this year, and not even just as a feel good story. But I mean, guys like Zach Werenski is a Norris finalist right now. I mean, it's been amazing, and you've seen guys just really step up for this team, and so. That's nice to see, kind of a perennial underdog. It's nice to see them, you know, doing well. And then, Boston's a weird one for me. I think it's
weird's a word.
I think what it was a few days ago, Cam Neely said something like, well, at the deadline, we're going to go one of two ways. We're either going to buy or sell. And it's like, well, thank you, Cam. Like, I don't know if there's another
the three
option.
Of us, the three of us can take that position. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
that's easy.
Like, okay, thanks. I'm pretty sure that's the only two options. So I think I think that they need to decide what they're going to do as an organization. I could say if it were up to me, I would lean into the retool right now if I were Boston.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that they will do that. I just, like, knowing this team, I feel like they're going to just throw caution to the wind and go for it, which I don't know is the best strategy in the long run. But, I mean, no one asked me if I wanted to buy or sell for Boston. So, yeah, I don't know. Boston, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird one this year.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like they're choking. Like, Brad Marchand tried to do the Nick Cousins.
We could spend 20 minutes on that with Emma right now.
Yeah, so Emma,
what
do you think? Is choking the better way, or is it licking in the face? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Or cross-checking in the face.
Right, like, I mean, what do you want? What's your pick on these three? Last one before we get into the favorite segment for anybody, 77 seconds.
Right.
Who surprises you down the stretch in a good way? For example, like, what team do you think will be, you know, we wanted Columbus, for example, different teams in the West. Any kind of story outside of the Jackets that you want to see really come to fruition?
Let's see. This is not in the West, but in the East, I think Ottawa has been pretty surprising this year.
Yeah.
I think that they've been, it's been kind of fun. You know, kind of, again, another team that maybe have been sort of in this mushy middle for a while now, and you're starting to see a little bit from them. And in that same vein, Montreal, you know, especially that team, I mean, they've been, this was supposed to be the year that, like, their rebuild was supposed to kind of start coming together with all this young talent, they have Caulfield and all those guys that you think that, okay, this is going to be it, like, finally. And then they just came out completely flat, but you're starting to see a little bit of life in them as well. So I think those are kind of the sneaky teams in the East that, you know, they haven't necessarily been powerhouses in the conference in recent years. But they could be, you know, they're starting to pick up kind of at the right time here. So it would be fun ones to watch.
I'd love to see it happen. I really would.
Allmark is coming back too for Ottawa, and that's going to provide a big boost. So we could see some, you know, better returns coming up actually rather shortly. Let's move on to, you've done 70 seconds before. We came up with seven fresh questions, obviously, to not bore you. So we'll start right off the top. And you covered this in your podcast, so, but you didn't answer the question. Mike addressed it. Should the NHL have an award for the best defensive defenseman?
Yes, I think that should be the Norris Trophy, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the Norris Trophy should be best defensive defenseman, and then there should be a separate award for the best offensive defenseman.
Okay, so you think that there should be
I like
two,
that.
Though?
I like
because
that.
You have the Selke for forwards, so.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Who is your heart selection today?
I think I got to go McKinnon right now.
Okay.
Okay, good call.
Yeah. Best team in the NHL right this minute.
Winnipeg.
Okay.
When does the Great Eight break 99's record? Tomorrow?
You can ballpark it.
Yeah.
I mean, are we talking about like this year or next year? Or this year?
Are you, or first week of April, mid-March, next season?
Do you think he's going to do it this year?
I think he'll do it this year. I think it'll come right down to the wire.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
What do you name Utah?
I, once again, in the minority, I like Utah Hockey Club. I've always liked
too.
It. I think it sounds classy.
Yeah.
But now
boring.
Oh, how is that boring? It's unique. It's
apparently
unique.
That's one of the ones that is like potentially getting rejected because by the patent office that Utah HC is now maybe like getting rejected. I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Favorite NHL city for you to visit?
Montreal.
Yeah, that's a good answer. We all love Montreal.
Why is that? Just because? I mean, I think that's the answer. That's the answer you can give just because it's so good.
I don't know. I think it's like the closest you can get to feeling like you're traveling overseas, but you're actually not. Not just because of the French thing, but because of you know, the old city. And it's beautiful up there. And I'm going to have to go to Montreal.
You, last one, you covered, you're up with us very early this morning and you covered a late game last night. When do you sleep or do you need much of it?
Well, maybe that could be why I'm sick right now because my body is like, what are you doing?
Right.
I think some of the fans here in Nashville, some of the Preds fans have dubbed me the hardest working woman in hockey, which I don't know if that's true, but. I mean, it sounds good, so
I'd own it. Just own it.
Yeah.
I did. I will admit, I did take a little nap before the game in San Jose last night, so I was able to stay up.
Hope that you take another couple today as well. Yeah. So, anyway, thank you very much for joining us, Emma. Fun again as always.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.